Hey guys, Lena Abjemer here from Living with Power Ministries and welcoming you to another podcast in our series that I've called 10 Areas I Need Help With This Year. We are a good month into the new year and I hope you are having an awesome beginning of 2015. I have really been enjoying this series. We'll finish today's teaching and we'll be halfway through the series that's 10 weeks long. And when we finish this series, I'll be moving to a book of the Bible teaching through Mark, the Gospel of Mark. But until then, let's focus today on the podcast I've called I Need Help With My Tongue, which some of you are like, I know all about that. And our words get us in trouble more often than we think. And it's time that we get a biblical perspective on it. And I don't know about you, but that's an area I really need help with. And of course, if you're a Christian who's done any kind of Bible study, if I asked you to pick out the passage that is most kind of directed towards that, I think you'd go to James chapter 3, which is the section about the tongue. And I'm going to read a few little bit of it and start. Remember, every week we're looking at kind of this four questions that we go through. And I don't know, I'm going to try to keep things simple today. I know last week was a very heavy study with a lot of information. And I don't know, just trusting the Holy Spirit with every week and what God's doing in your life and heart. Know that I love talking to you and hearing from you and really hope that these lessons are becoming effective in your life and growing you in your walk with the Lord. So here's the first question. What's up with the tongue? Let's talk about that. I mean, what's up with it? It's a small member. In fact, let's look at what God says about it. Start with chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm going to read a good 12 verses. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." Wow, this is crazy. Let me keep going. "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." Sound familiar? Sound close to home? He goes on to say in verse 10, I'm wrapping up here the reading, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." What's up with the tongue, my friends? It controls everything. I love the imagery given in James 3. I mean, basically, we're given a couple of pictures. It is like a bridle in the mouth of a horse. It is like the rudder of a ship. You've got a huge horse, you've got a huge ship, and you've got a smaller rudder and a small little bridle, and yet it controls everything. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. And how many of us don't know that to be a fact? Your words, man, you control the tone of your family. And you might know someone in your family, and you know, like, one word from them, and can set the entire vacation in one direction versus the other way around. I mean, it's crazy. It controls everything. It explodes everything. I love that image. I don't love it, but I love the imagery. But the image itself is scary. It's like a forest fire. How many of you have caught the news in the past where you'll hear a fire in California and it looks like miles of fire, and then you'll find out like one guy started it by flicking a cigarette on the ground, you know? Next thing you know, the entire neighborhood's being burnt up in fire. That's the tongue. It explodes everything. And here's another thought from James 3. It never stops. It never stops. It is a restless evil. We read that in verse 8. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil. Think about it. You'll be tired, but you talk. And I find that the more tired I am, the more I'm prone to talk. And that is a dangerous place to be. And so the tongue, it's a big deal. But most importantly, it reveals our heart. I think the hardest verses to read was towards the end where it says that with the tongue we bless God and we curse man. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree produce bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. what's coming out of your mouth reveals what's in your heart. That is scary to me, because I'm telling you, half the time, if you look at what's coming out of my mouth, it is not good. And this behooves us to get help with. How are we going to get control on the tongue? I need help with that. I don't know about you. Here's a second question leading up from this discussion about the heart. How does my tongue reveal my heart? How does it do it? There's many, many verses in Scripture about it, but I kind of want to kind of keep us in this general area. So here are some thoughts. My tongue shows my level of security and insecurity. So let me go to Ephesians. Actually, one of the other passages I'm going to take you to today is in Ephesians. And this is a section of Scripture in chapter 4 that talks about putting off the habits of the old self and putting on your Christ-like self. Okay? So put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And put on the new self, this is verse 24, created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Goes on to says a few more things about that. But I find that with the tongue, we tend to compare one another with one another. We gossip, we use corrupt conversation, malice, slander, and in all of it, we're really showing that who we really trust. And many times, what drives our behavior, our words, what drives it is a sense of insecurity, of not measuring up, or of jealousy, of wanting what somebody else has. Incidentally, James chapter 3, at the end of the verses that I read, immediately it moves into this discussion. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. That is not wisdom that comes from above. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And so it's interesting, because we're talking about tongue, and then James goes straight into this jealousy. And what I find is that often our level of insecurity leads us to jealousy. We want what other people have. So we end up gossiping about them, trying to think that if we put others down and pump ourselves up, we'll somehow feel better about the situation. Isn't that what's in our hearts? And what's behind that, dig a little deeper, because we've talked a lot about motive in this series. It goes back to the issue of trust. Do you trust that God has your best in mind? Do you trust that what's happening in your heart right now is given by God for you for today, no matter what else looks like is happening in other people's life? And so you can be a Christian in ministry, teaching God's word, and be constantly looking at what other churches are doing, other ministries are doing, other people who are teaching are doing, and constantly be like, well, I don't like them, and I don't like her, and can you believe what she did? And you hear a little gossip about it, and you spread it over there, and all along, it has to do with your own level of not trusting God, being insecure in what he's given you and ungrateful for what he's given you. So how does my tongue reveal my heart? It shows my level of security or insecurity. It shows my level of patience and impatience. When cursing comes out of our mouth, when anger comes out of our mouth, typically it's because we didn't get what we wanted when we wanted it. And it leads us to, man, automatic anger. Think about the last time you picked up the phone to talk to a customer service representative and they put you on hold and they finally come back on hold and they transfer you to three people, and by the time you get to the right person, you are so mad! And it's because you have the sense of my time is more valuable, and you're impatient, which, by the way, we're spending a whole week talking about impatience at the end of the series. All right? So how does my tongue reveal my heart? It shows my level of maturity or lack of it. How mature are you in your walk with the Lord? Can you praise God when he's blessing other people? Can you apply the words of Jesus in Luke chapter... I want to give you the next chapter. In Luke chapter 6, I want to say. 6. Where he says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you, and on and on. And then even think about the people that are doing well, who might be your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're a mature Christian, you understand that you're not in competition with them. That as long as Jesus Christ is praised, you don't have to gossip about them. You don't have to put them down. You don't have to be cruel and let corrupt words come out of your mouth. So again, you go back to this trusting God. Or are you sinking in self-pity? Are your words constantly negative, murmuring? Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the people of Israel and how they were in the wilderness and they mumbled and grumbled. And I think the words there are so convicting. The people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. Why did they complain? Because they didn't like what they had. And then God sent a fire in their camp. And aren't many of our words against God and against others driven by our sense, God, you haven't given me what I deserve. And that self-pity is feeling like I deserve more than I've gotten. And it has to do with a lack of contentment and a lack of joy. And so your tongue, so all this to say, all of these heart issues are revealed by the words that come out of your mouth. So don't fool yourself. You can't say, well, I'm a really happy person, but spend your entire day being negative and complaining and murmuring. No, you're not happy. You're convincing yourself a lie. And the third big question is, so what can I do about it? Because I don't think you need me to, you know, take 15 minutes out of your life to tell you that your tongue is a problem. We all know it. I know what my words are like. What can I do about it? Well, we've got to fix our hearts, transform our hearts, Lord, right? A couple of great verses for you to remember, because we're looking for biblical truth for everyday life, and we really want God's perspective on our life. It doesn't matter what Living with Power says. It doesn't matter what Lena Abjamra says. It doesn't matter what your pastor says, as much as it matters what God's Word says. So I pray that you are in a place where you're being directed to God's Word. And so, for instance, in Matthew chapter 12, it says, Jesus is speaking. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Who has your heart, my friend? Luke chapter 6, verse 45, in essence, says the same thing. And so what can I do about my tongue? Here's three things if you want to just simplify. Number one, recognize that you cannot tame it. Did you catch that when I read the James passage? Remember the first time I saw it, and again, I was reminded of it this week as I've been thinking about this. It can be discouraging when you first read it. In verse 8 of James 3, it says, but no human being can tame the tongue. None of us can. No human being. Your mom can't make you do it. Your pastor can't make you do it. Your teachers can't make it. Even your boss can't make you do it. No human being can. You cannot make you do it. You need Jesus for this. When we talk about, I need help with my tongue, you're not asking me for help. You're asking the Lord Jesus. And so we did a heart transformation in the passage I read you in Ephesians about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. What that's talking about is the renewal that comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ who supplants your heart. He removes the heart of stone and he transplants. You know, the Christian walk, I've always felt like it's important to distinguish. It's not a behavior modification program. It's not about you getting a facelift, you see? It's not just like just a little bit of a tummy tuck here and a little, you know, pulling of the skin there, a little Botox here. No, it's a complete radical transplantation. You're taking out your old heart and you're putting a new heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he goes on to say, don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your minds. And so recognize that you cannot tame yourself. You need the Lord to transform you. And number two, repent quickly. Ephesians 5, verse 30 says this. Why do I have that there? Four verse 30, where I was talking about, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of repentance, of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice, bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. That's the sins of the tongue. What's the opposite of that? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Listen, you want to know what to do? Repent quickly. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Run to Him and understand that just as you have been forgiven in Christ, you too need to exemplify that same kindness to others. And so thirdly, what can I do about my tongue? Be filled with the Spirit. Moving from Ephesians 4 straight into Ephesians 5, we're told, given this comparison, it says, Paul's talking to the Ephesians church, he says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This verse is not about drunkenness. This verse is about being filled with the Spirit so that what comes out of your mouth is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so he goes on to say, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So what can I do about my tongue? Recognize that you cannot tame it. You need the Lord. Repent quickly. Don't grieve the Spirit. Ask for forgiveness. And number three, be filled, overflowing with the Spirit of God so that what comes out of your mouth are words of song and hymns and thanksgiving and praise and a mutual submission to one another in the context of your relationships. And so four questions. We started today with talking about the tongue. What's up with the tongue? It's a problem. How does my tongue reveal my heart with the words that come out of it? What can I do about it? Give it over to the Lord. And number four, what can I do practically speaking? So, okay, I get the big picture, but what about practically speaking? Is there some practical things that I can do? You better believe it. Get the Word of God in. I love Psalm 19. The last verse there says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalms 19, verse 14. And there's something about putting the Word of God in your heart. We talked about Psalm 119 in week number two. Memorize Scripture. Something as simple as that. Just memorize Scripture. Get the Word of God into your heart. This podcast, you listening to it, is helpful in that you're focusing your mind throughout the day on what God has said. Listen to worship songs. I only listen to worship songs. That's about it. I mean, 99% of the time in my life, I listen to worship songs. Not even like top 40 Christian. I like worship songs. I want words that will take my mind towards the Lord. And by the way, the better worship songs are the ones that are based on words of Scripture. I love that. So memorize Scripture. Fill your mind and heart with God's Word. Get the Word in. Get the Word in. That is a practical thing you can do. And that is not something that's going to happen by osmosis. You're going to have to sit down, whether you're 10 or whether you're 80, and you're going to have to do this. And if you're committed to it, read books about God. Just get your mind renewed. I read Romans 12, 1 and 2 earlier about renewing your mind, not be conformed to the world. Get the Word in and then get the Word out. So when the Word is in, it is overflowing and you're praying and asking God to fill you with the Spirit. Now get the Word out. So practically speaking, we're talking, find someone, write them a note. Speak truth to them in love. I mean, good truth, not bad truth. There's a time for rebuking someone who needs to be rebuked. Now we're talking about taking away the negative words and replacing them with the positive ones. And you can do it simply by, hey, you have a mother, you have a father, you have a son, you have a daughter, you have a sister, you have a brother, you have a friend, you have a pastor. Write them a note and just tell them, I love what you're doing. Here's what I want you to know about it. Just bless people with your mouth. Let it be a tool for God's words to come. Send them a verse to say, I've been praying for you and God gave me this verse for you. And I want you to know that God knows you and loves you and has a plan for your life. And pray. So get the Word in. We talked about it. Get the Word out. Speak truth to others. Write notes to tell people the good stuff that's happening in your life. Pray for those who you envy. Pray for those that are abusing you or hurting you. You know, pray for those. I read you already Ephesians 5 and it's critical that you start training your tongue to use words for good. And then lastly, praise God with a friend. Just get in the habit of praising God. Make a gratitude list. Just run through the list before you go to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, just top three things I'm grateful for today. I try when I put my hand on the pillow right before I go to sleep. I say, God, Jesus, I love you and I thank you. And I give him two or three things. And I barely even get to the third before I fall asleep. That's how my mind is now. And that's a blessing. And it's something that God has done in me. It has nothing to do with me and everything to do with the Spirit of God in me. As I finish, let me see. I have here Colossians 3. I think we're wrapping things up here. But Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17 says, oh yeah, that's that one. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we're talking about the practical things. Get the Word in, get the Word out. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Man, that is an awesome way to live. And I don't know about you, but I need help with my tongue. And I'm committing to this year. I'll tell you what. I've already started this pattern. When I find that I'll go to dinner at my sister's, or I'll email or text a friend, and I'll kind of negate something like, oh, I don't like what they're doing, and I'll be negative about someone, whether it's a ministry leader or a friend, and then I'll feel convicted. And what I've started in the habit of doing isn't just to confess my sin to God, but I'll text them back and say, you know what? I was wrong. when I said that about them. I said it out of my own insecurity and fear. Will you please forgive me? And I'm telling you, on the third and fourth time that you do this, you don't want to do it anymore. And so I'm asking God to help me because I want victory in this area. And if you're like me and you want victory, start doing that, man. Start doing whatever it takes to make sure that God is taming your tongue and that you're honoring to Him in every word and every deed, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I will be back with you next week. In the meantime, if you got any questions, email me, Lena@livingwithpower.org. I think that's enough words for today. I'll see you next week.